Preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, you can even use words. I'm going to be your sentinel today. Last week, we had a good message from Ezekiel. And a quick review about that so that you understand where we're going. What is that? Oh. Oh. I thought it was the swallows outside. Well, Norma, put it in. No. Put it in. Okay, good. Okay. Last week we learned that God commissioned Ezekiel, remember, to be a sentinel for Israel. Remember what he was to do. The reason for a sentinel is to protect and preserve the people of Israel from wandering and the consequences of wandering. A sentinel, a sentry. If Ezekiel does his job as a sentinel, you extrapolate from this into a Newville key, if I can say that. And if Ezekiel is obedient and he does what a sentinel is supposed to do, the people at least have a chance, have a choice. We talked to Jason last week about the sentry surrounding and guarding a camp. If the sentry gives a warning to the camp that harm is coming, at least the people in the camp have a choice and a chance to react and do something. Now, that's their choice. But at least Ezekiel did his job as a sentinel, and Ezekiel is exonerated. Now, on the other hand, if Ezekiel refuses to do his job as a sentinel, he's disobedient to it, the people have no chance. The people pay. The people suffer. And Ezekiel, the sentinel, is held responsible. But here's something you got to understand about that passage, and you understand about your calling and my calling. Whether Ezekiel did his job or not, he's still a sentinel. Whether I do my job or not, I'm still a sentinel. God said, I made you a sentinel. That's what you are to do. You can do it, you cannot do it, but your status as a sentinel is the same. Here we have Jesus of Nazareth. And what we've been talking about for the past couple of months is that Jesus has started his church. Never been anything like it before. Never been anything like it before or after. And I say that, and right away I realize, well, there was something like it before, actually, because Jesus is beginning the new Jerusalem, isn't it? Or the new Israel. Israel had 12 tribes. You ever think about that? Jesus had 12 disciples. You see what Jesus did there? Jesus took Israel, the original people of God, and he reconstituted it around himself. And the difference between Israel and the church is just that, well, two things actually. It's no longer according to race. The church is open to all and sundry, right? Doesn't matter what race you are. That's number one thing. Number two thing, and here's where the sting in the tail is for us. The church is enabled to do the task that Israel was charged with. Did you hear that? You, me, because of the new covenant, are now enabled to do what God called Israel to do. What did God call Israel to do? To be the light of the world. God called Israel to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, because they weren't enabled by the Holy Spirit. So God intervenes. He sends Jesus. He sets up a new Israel that now Israel enabled to do what they're supposed to do. And what does Jesus commission his disciples to do? What have we been studying the last couple of months? when he sets up his new church, Jesus rips off Ezekiel. And that's all right, I can say that. He rips off Ezekiel, and he forms his disciples, and he commissions them, just like God commissioned Ezekiel, he commissioned them to be sentinels. He commissions his disciples to be sentinels. Do you know why you need to be a sentinel? And why I need to be a sentinel? Well, the same reason God told Ezekiel to protect. You ever look at your calling this way? We're going to after today's message. I hope you do. Jesus commissions his disciples to be sentinels, to protect and preserve people in the church who are wandering and the consequences of wandering. And we found out that the consequences of wandering are severe, are grave. Jesus says you self-destruct. Here's where the shoe's going to pinch a little bit. Jesus instructs his disciples on how to be a sentinel. Do you know how to be a sentinel? Do you know what you're supposed to do? What physically, what on the ground tomorrow are you and I called to do as sentinels? Now, with this caveat, again, whether you do it or not, this is so important for us to understand. Whether you do it or not does not change your status. Jesus says to his disciples, if you're a sentinel, you're a sentry, you're to warn, you're to sound the trumpet, you're to tell people what I'm saying, because people can't hear what God is saying unless his disciples say it. The world cannot hear what God is saying. Paul says that. He says those without the Spirit can't understand it, can't get it, can't read Scripture, can't get it out. He said they're depending on you. And he says to his disciples, and I'm going to say to you as your sentinel, if you do what a sentinel is supposed to do, at least you give people a chance. At least you sound the trumpet. At least those in the camp hear the warning. At least they have a choice. And if you do that, you're exonerated. And here's where, again, the shoe pinches. If you don't do it, you're still a sentinel. You're still a sentry. You've been commissioned to do that. If you don't do it, the people don't have a chance, don't have a choice. They don't hear the warning. They don't hear the trumpet. They don't hear what God is saying. I had an incident in my office Friday where the whole, you know, I told you God takes me through these things when I preach on this. He gives me, he brings it into shoe leather in my life. And I was really busy Friday. See if you identify with this. I was really busy, tired. A woman came in. I did the diagnosis and the therapy, and I was ready to move on because the waiting room was full, and the phone was ringing, and it was late Friday afternoon. And then she just said to me, "Do you think emotional issues can cause musculoskeletal injuries and pain?" And you know what my natural inclination was right there, to my shame? I don't have time to get into this right now. That was my natural inclination. I will confess that to you. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is so on the job that immediately I was convicted. Before I said one word, I was immediately convicted, and I thought of this message, and I thought, Tim, you're talking about being a sentinel, sounding the trumpet, warning and giving people a choice and a chance. And here, standing before you, is a woman who desperately needs to hear what God has said to you. You ever been in those situations? when it's just more convenient to move on, to blow it off and get on to something else. That is, you see, if the enemy can get in there in our lives and in my life, he wins. He stops that person that is right there in front of you from hearing, because God said to Ezekiel, as my sentinel, I'm going to tell you things. And then you, as my sentinel, you need to tell the people that you come in contact with what I've told you. Else, if you don't do that, they are deaf to what I'm saying. They can't hear. We are the conduit, church. Newville, and by the way, I'm excited about Newville because God is on the cusp of doing something powerful here in this church. No doubt about it. And I'm excited to see what that is. If you, Newvillians, are not the conduit to what God says to you, to the person who has just shared, has given you a little, has put the fine edge of a wedge into your life just enough to ask you a question like that. So I just sat down. She sat down and talked for 15, 20 minutes. But at least, and this is not to Tim Davis's credit, I'm not saying that, but at least that woman now has a choice and a chance. You see, if you don't do that, if you're a sentry guarding the camp, and you decide, well, I hear the sword is coming, but you know, that's just not my thing. I don't want to. I'll leave that to other people like Tim and like Barry and like Sandy. I'm going to leave that to people like that who are more into that thing. I don't really see myself as a sentinel. Brothers and sisters, you are a sentinel. Whether you do it or not, totally different matter. And if you don't sound the warning, the trumpet, and I'll bet you, you come in contact with people every single day that need to hear this, who are depending on you to do this. And God is depending on you to do this. And it is so easy, and so human nature, and so natural just to, let me just stay on schedule. Do you ever do that? Boy, this message has quickened my heart. Has made me understand, and I've always had a pretty deep, visceral belief about this, but it's even more so. It has made me understand this. And I used to hear people talk like this, and I thought they were kind of a zealot and a little bit nutty, but I don't anymore. It has made me understand the only thing that matters is for us to be faithful as disciples to our vocation and our commission. It is the only thing that matters. So how do you do it? How does Jesus instruct his disciples to be sentinels? And it is my job to tell you this, because if you don't know what the job description that you're of being a sentinel, then I don't know that you would know how to prosecute that. I don't know that you would know how to do it with any kind of alacrity at all. So I'm going to tell you what Jesus says. This is how you're supposed to do it. Here's how you're a sentinel. What's he say first off? They come to him. He's just formed his church. The people come to him, the disciples, and right away they're worried about hierarchy, aren't they? What do they say? Hey, this new church that you just started, who's going to be greatest in that church? Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus gives them an answer that totally sets them on their ear, that totally is paradoxical to the way we think. And he says, you want to be greatest in my kingdom and in my church? Number one, you have to humble yourself. You want to know how to be a sentinel? Kelly, what you read today, exquisitely appropriate. Who is it that I make my home with? He is contrite in heart and trembles at my word and is humble. He says to his disciples, the greatest is the one who humbles himself. He says, if you want to be a sentinel, you need to listen to me. Primarily, listen to me. Because you can't listen to God and not be humbled. Don't you find that to be true? I cannot, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Isn't that exquisitely true? Listen, brothers and sisters, we have to listen to him like any sentry. We can't pass on what we haven't heard. And when we listen to him, the natural reaction in my life, and maybe yours, I think it would be yours too, humility. Humble yourself. And this is what will happen, he says. A humble sentinel will give time and regard. That's what happened to me Friday. What did I do for that woman? I gave her time and regard. Do you know how rare it is for someone who's hurting to actually have someone else give them time and regard? Do you ever have people ask you how you're doing and you're not doing well? What do you say? What do you say? Yeah, exactly, Barry. Fine. You know why you say fine? Because you know from experience they really don't want to hear it, don't you? I have shared things with people who have asked me sometimes, and I've been honest, and I shared something, and immediately I lose them. Glaze over their eyes. I didn't really care how you are. You've misconstrued that question. This is just pleasantry. He said, if you're humble from listening to me, you will give people time and regard, number one. Number two, what else will happen if you're humbled? You'll pluck and throw. You'll chop and throw. In other words, Jesus says, you will deal with things. Get this. You deal with things in your life that are tripping you up. What's that got to do with being a sentinel? Because those are the things, I'm thinking right now of things in my life that trip me up, that stop me from doing my job as a sentinel. And there are many. He says you got to be willing to chop and throw. Chop it off, pluck it out, throw it away, deal with things in your life that trip you up. Because when you aren't willing to do that, it shows one thing, pride, doesn't it? That's what humility does. Pride stops me from chopping, plucking, and throwing and dealing with things in my life that are tripping me up because it's hard to admit that you have those foibles. Number three, what will being humble do? You will never, ever look down, ever, one time on one that has wandered from the faith. You won't do it. You can't do it. And the reason you can't do it and won't do it, because you understand when you listen to him, you understand how much you're like that person who's wandered. You put yourself in that place. You can't lord it over them. Time and regard. Deal with things in your life that need dealt with, that are tripping you up. And don't look down ever once on those that have wandered. And Jesus says, if you don't do these things, you hurt faith in others. That's an awesome responsibility in my mind. We look at being in the family of God as a tremendous privilege, and it is. But attached to that privilege is an awesome responsibility. You hurt the faith in others when you're not being a competent sentinel. In other words, To sum it up, Jesus says, here's how you be a sentinel. Here it is. Here's your take home. You're a sentinel by dealing with things in your life that need to be dealt with. You're a sentinel by being an image bearer. That's a sentinel. You're a sentinel that does his job, her job, when you are an image bearer. Why? Why would that be a sentinel, just to be an image bearer? Why did that woman say to me that question? Do people see, like Paul says in the 2 Corinthian correspondence, do you think it's actually true that people can see, like he says, that the Spirit of the living God resides in you whether you say anything or not? Is that kind of ethereal? Do you think a person can detect the image of the Savior and the Creator Covenant God in you without you saying a word? Paul says yes. Preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, you can even use words. How does image bearing make you a competent sentinel? It does two things. It announces the truth about two things. When you're an image-bearing sentinel, make no mistake, you're announcing truth to people. And you don't sometimes have to say a word. You announce truth about two things. Number one, I think what we do with people is that we awaken in them an echoey, shadowy, genetic memory of what it means to be genuinely human. We awaken by being an image-bearing sentinel in others a memory that they don't even know they have of what it means to be genuinely human. And I'm thinking of Jacob, that young boy who I told you about several weeks ago, lived across the road from us. 20 years passed, 20 years from the last time I saw him till he comes down to our house unannounced and says to me and Teresa and Tori, Tommy and Tad, and Timmy. He said, it was the goodness that I saw in your family that helped me turn and repent 20 years later. Why? We awakened a memory, a genetic memory, in what it means to be genuinely human. I think of Adam and Eve. This isn't in Scripture. It's Tim's extrapolation, or I think it might be Teresa's extrapolation. When they're expelled from the garden, I think of them. I think Teresa said they wistfully looked over their shoulders at what they had and what they would never have again. They had a memory of the Edenic relationship. You ever have, I think this is how it works. Do you ever have something bad happen in your life? And years go by, and you come across a situation that looks perfect to you. Perfect marriage, perfect family, perfect job, perfect health. The way things should be. What does that do? What does that do to you? What does that make you want? What does that make you think of? What should have been is this instead. That's what we do for people as image-bearing sentinels. We show them what should be. Teresa and I do this with Timmy. This is how I know this concept, because we see intact families. I mean, with all their children, healthy. Grown adult children, and immediately it triggers in our memory what should have been. But is this instead? I know you do that. I know that there's something that has happened in your life that didn't work out, and if only that hadn't happened, it would be this way. And then someone comes along that has it this way, and it triggers that memory in your life. I think of the prodigal son. What do we do for people as image-bearing sentinels? Not just sentinels, image-bearing sentinels. There's a difference. The prodigal son leaves his father, leaves his family, wanders, signs on with the Gentiles, eating the husk that the pigs are eating. Is that not where humanity has gone? Is not humanity today eating the husk that are offered to the pigs? And do you know why? One reason? They don't know any better. They think this is the way it is to live. The enemy has blinded them, and the world has foisted upon them this concept of what it means to be human. Here's what you do if you're a genuinely human one. This is what you chase after. These are your values, these are your goals, these are your commitments. Husk of the pigs, because we know no better. Along comes a Christian. Along comes an image-bearing sentinel. And here's the prodigal lying there eating the husk with the pigs. And you know what Scripture says powerfully and irresistibly? It says, this is the thing that got him. He said he remembered his home. He remembered his image-bearing father. You see, we as image-bearing sentinels, we make people remember home. We make them look wistfully back over their shoulders at Edenic relationship, and they get a glimpse of what it could be. And they say to themselves, what should have been is this instead. And that motivates them, that life is possible. You don't think you have an awesome responsibility? You think your faith doesn't matter? You are to awaken that memory. You're to have the people that are eating the husk with the pigs, 20 years later, come back to you and say, I remembered your family. And he remembered his home and his father. And he gets up. This is repentance. This is that young boy, Jacob, bless his heart, gets up. And Jacob, very much by his own admission, would tell you he was eating the husk of the pigs. And he gave me permission to share any and all of this story. And he starts the long trek back because he held that memory. And there's his father. Why does father see him coming from a long way off in that story?
He was watching.
That's right, Teresa. He was watching. Watching. To help us understand this in further detail, the time machine, not the remake, the old one, H.G. Wells. And humanity, this time traveler, gets into this cool time machine, and he goes centuries, millennium ahead in time, and he's on Earth. You think it's not allegorical? You don't think God works through secular literature? Talked about that in Sunday school this morning. So he goes ahead millennium into time, and he's on Earth, and here's humanity. a shadow of what they used to be. They don't even know what it means to be human. And one of the ways the controlling powers and principalities kept them thinking that way, they got rid of all books, scripture, books, everything gone. Does that sound a little contemporary? What are the principalities and powers doing to humanity to keep them under their thumb, to keep them thinking that what it means to be human? What's the first thing they're doing? Get rid of all scripture. In schools, in government offices, everywhere. Get rid of it because, you know why? The enemy knows that awakens a memory of what should have been. So here he is, millennium ahead, and these people are just automatons, just following the dominant culture and just doing, this is what it means to be human. And this man, he says, you don't understand. Being human means this. And he started to demonstrate it and model it for them. And they started to remember. You don't think you remember Eden? You do. You don't think the general populace remembers Eden? They do. It is a far-off, echoey memory, but it's there, and it is our job as image-bearing sentinels to bring that to the forefront of their cerebral cortex, a.k.a. their brain. And he does that for these people, and they start to rebel against the principalities and powers, and the principalities and powers strike back. But still, he leads them, and he shows them, and they're attracted to it. Don't go with the flow, Nuvillians. Turn off what the entertainment industry is shoving at you as normal. Stand up and say no. And you will awaken that memory. Another one of my favorite shows. Our family had watched for years. We had such a great time watching Lonesome Dove. And in that show, there's a character named Lori. Gus calls her Lori Darling. And she's had a rough life. Very much signed on with the Gentiles. Very much eating husk of the pigs. And she leaves and goes on a cattle drive with Gus and Call. And she comes upon... Gus leaves her with an acquaintance named Clara. And Clara had this great ranch in Oklahoma. And Lori starts living with her, and she makes a statement in there after she's there for a couple of weeks. She says to Gus, I didn't know people could be so kind and that life could be so good. You announce the truth. The truth about what it means to be genuinely human. And you also announce a second truth. You announce that God's wrath is coming against false humanity. God's wrath is coming against false humanity. When you are an image-bearing sentinel, and how do you do that? Humility. Deal with the things in your life that need to be dealt with. Listen to God. Oh, I don't know what to do. Listen, when you get in your car in the morning, Sunday morning, and you come to church, you're being a sentinel. You're being an image-bearing sentinel. You don't think people notice that? Little details in your life, they do. Well, those people say they're Christians. They never see them going to church, but they say they're Christians. Other words, when you get in your car, you take the time to drive here, you are saying powerfully and irresistibly, my priorities are to the Creator Covenant God. And that awakens just that simple act. Awakens a memory in them. God's wrath is coming, the sword, against false humanity. Jesus said you're to be salt. Remember he said you're to be salt of the earth? What does salt do? What does salt do to people? When you eat salt, what do you do? What happens? You get thirsty. We are to make people thirsty. for what it means to be genuinely human. Now, failure to be an image-bearing sentinel, all right, you're a sentinel. Now, you're either an image-bearing sentinel or you're a non-image-bearing sentinel. That's not neutral. What did God say to Ezekiel? If you're the sentry and you don't sound the trumpet and you don't give the warning, I'm going to hold you responsible. If you think it's okay, Christians, not to be an image-bearer, you are profoundly mistaken. Because what you're actually doing, listen, you're actually blocking God's word from the world. Yeah, you're blocking God's word from the world. And you will be held responsible. What'd Jesus say about that? If you hurt the faith of someone else, he says, I got some advice for you. You should get a millstone around your neck right now and jump into the deepest lake you can find. Romans 1:18. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness, against people, now listen, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. If you're not an image-bearing sentinel, you actually suppress the truth. That's serious. And Paul says, yeah, God's wrath's going to be revealed against those people someday because you were the sentry guarding this camp and you didn't sound the warning. You didn't even give people the choice or the chance. They're going to pay. They've lost their chance. And guess what? Non-image-bearing sentinel, you are responsible because you suppressed the truth. If I received a letter that gave a dire warning about some coming event, it was going to come to Richland County, and I didn't announce it to you this morning, that's tantamount to be a non-image-bearing sentinel. Do you see that? Show the world another way to be human. Awaken that distant echoing memory in them. Give them a chance. Because you have been given the keys to the kingdom. Like it or not, you have them. Whether you put them in the lock and use them, employ them or not, is your business. But you will be responsible for it. And I will be responsible for that. You've been made a sentinel. Because you know what we really do, and we end with this. You know what we really do? You know what? You know, like the woman I met with. I think of the psalmist who said, because the whole world, including the whole created order, is saying this prayer, inaudibly, inarticulable, but they say this. They say, send out your light and your truth, that it may guide us, that it may guide us to your holy mountain, that it may guide us to your dwelling. That's what the world is actually praying. And we do that powerfully and irresistibly when we are image-bearing sentinels. Let's pray. Lord and Master, pray your blessing on this message. Pray your Holy Spirit to make and conform us into those image bearers. Amen.